Hey there, family. Thanks for checking out the podcast. I just want to give you a quick update for the summer of 2023. We're still going through real life theology. We're going to be talking about Christian convictions, discerning the essential, the important, and the personal, as well as kingdom living, what it looks like to live out love and holiness and make the kingdom tangible. But we're doing all of that primarily meeting through house churches. So these sermons may be a little shorter. They may be a little more interactive. Either way, I hope you enjoy them. Don't forget to rate this podcast, leave a comment, and share it with your friends. God bless.
Genesis 12, we've been here before. If anything, this is review. But shedding new light to it, this is God's plan for planet Earth. Last Sunday, we were talking about kingdom living and loving others by being self-sacrificial servants to them. And that really to mission to others is to love others. And that was actually a longer sermon. So let me get into the verse. Genesis 12, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Abraham wasn't giving many specifics right there, but somehow God said, "Here's my plan for everyone on the earth to be blessed through you." He was just told it's going to extend through you to the rest of the world. So you're going to have to take your first step of faith in order for more to be revealed to you, in order for you to figure out how that's going to happen. And I bet he's going to need some help along the way as well. Usually God commissions us with these great and incredible things in which we need to depend on him, right? In which we need to have faith. We see God throughout scriptures calling his followers to be sent, and to have sentness, to be missioned. And usually it means stepping out of stability, social comfort, relational control, safety, success, respect, clarity of what to be expected. But for Abraham, all those details and the outcomes didn't matter as much as faithfulness did. His simple obedience, his simple response to the love of God, the blessing of God, and would he go forth and then bless others because of that? Jesus asked his disciples the same thing, "Hey, drop your nets and follow me," with not many details. And as they took those steps then, baby steps towards Jesus and walked with him, they realized, this guy's lifestyle is really challenging my lifestyle, and I have to make a lot of changes that they were probably unaware of up front and at first. His ways challenged their ways, right? His discipleship often put them in uncomfortable situations, in unknowns, that forced them to trust him, lean on him, depend him on him. Let's go to Samaria, let's go to a demon-possessed man, let's talk to women, all of these situations that we know about. Abraham as well, headed into a hostile culture that didn't really care for his God. Peter and the early Jewish communities, they were called into Gentile and Greek cultures, very uncomfortable for them. Through the leadership of Paul, they even had to be rebuked a little bit. God had to like send them visions. They had to be told multiple times, "Do this." Stop waiting around. Here's a few of those references really quick. It's great because if you just do a computer search for the words "get up" in the Bible, it's mentioned all over the New Testament because God often tells people, get up, you know, take up your mat and walk. Get up, follow me. Acts 10:13, then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Meaning, accept the Gentiles, Peter, come on. Acts 26:16, this is Paul retelling his conversion story, and he retells it three times in Acts. Each and every time, he says, "The Lord told me, get up." Acts 26:16 says it this way, "Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. We've talked about that a lot in our Kingdom series just now. So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And how do they come into the kingdom of light? And how do they receive that forgiveness? Well, Paul told everyone, Acts 22:16, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. And every reference there, get up. Mm-hmm. They were sent. Sent to people. And it continues from there to today. All the great missionary movements around the world and throughout history had to cross ethnic, social, religious, philosophical barriers in order to, back to Genesis 11, extend God's blessing to the rest of the earth. I don't think they just like forgot about that in Jesus' ministry or in Paul's ministry. That was still the mission from the start. And it's the mission for us today as well. Here's John's version of the Great Commission. And John, I didn't write my reference down. I'm pretty sure this is John 21:20, unless it's John 20, verse 21. I think it's one of those two combos. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Any moment, somebody's probably going to correct me on that. So I'll just read it another time. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." 2021. It's 2021. Thank you, Megan. Helping me out. Same thing the Lord told Paul. I'm sending you. That's actually, real quick, word etymology, where we get the modern word missionary from Latin missio, meaning to be sent, which comes from the Greek that you see in here, apostello, sent one. I'm sending you. I am missioning you. As the Father has missioned me, I am missioning you. So a couple of points just to help us with that, and then we're going to open it back up for discussion. You'll notice that they never lived out their sentness alone. Pretty rare to go about it alone. And here we are in an individualistic society where sometimes we try to go about that alone. And it's tough, like being at a party and representing Christ when others are not. We were just discussing that. But Abraham took a small band of people with him. We see that in what we just read. Jesus gathered a small band to himself. Even Jesus did not do it alone. And whenever he sent them out, he did it at least in two by two. Go out with each other. Paul was accompanied by Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, and here in this room, you're accompanied by this band. Who's your Barnabas? Who's your Timothy? Who's your two by two? They're right here in this room, in this missional community. That's a resource for all of us. You are sent, but you're not sent alone. So sometimes we ask the question, who have you been sent to? And usually that doesn't mean go someplace new, but just see the places where you already are as a place of mission, that we don't always view them that way. Sometimes we need one another to help us view them that way. And so a better question might be, who have you been sent with? Who's on your prayer team for your workplace? For that coworker you've been trying to reach, but maybe somebody else in this room would relate to them even better. Man, I got to get you two together. We need one another. When one person in this room chooses to step out on faith, a second disciple should be there to say, how can I help you by my prayers and support? That's a question we've been ending off a lot of our Sundays with when we form our I will statements. They were immersed in God. In all of this sentness, beyond the one another, that was a huge help. They were immersed in God. God didn't call Abraham or the early communities to be evangelistic or hand out tracts. He told them to bless the world with the blessing God gave them. And in that context, blessing means the tangible touch of God. So if you're going to give people the tangible touch of God, you probably have to be immersed in God. It's going to be very difficult without Him, right? I think I've done this. I can fall into evangelism, but it doesn't necessarily require me to have a quiet time that morning, to know God, or to even have the right motives. I can kind of do it off of my own strength and my own power. But if I'm going to bless people and love them and pray for them and give them the tangible touch of God, you know, reach out with the missionary hand so they can reach back and experience God in some way, I'm going to need to be immersed in God. Jesus said it this way, apart from me, you can do nothing. We highlight that in week 2 of the Disciple Makers pathway because you just can't skip that in sentness. Have to be immersed in Him. And following that, when you are immersed in God, you're going to be immersed in tension. And so when you heard all of that, get up and I am sending you and go and bless, sometimes our mind immediately jumps to, well, that's going to be uncomfortable. That's going to be awkward. We think of the tension more than the immersion with God. And I think one always comes after the other. Being sent sometimes includes living with some internal and social tension. The early communities, they had to get used to walking by faith as they sought God's guidance on a daily basis. They had no model of what a Christian church should look like. They're like, let's figure this out, guys. And you know this, when you go out, you try to share your faith even casually, and maybe you didn't have your quiet time that day, there's a lot more tension, isn't there? But when you're like full of the Spirit and you're immersed in God, there's a lot less tension, isn't there? You're like, the Spirit is prompting this. Why not? God has been so good to me. Why not bless this person? Abraham and the early Jesus followers didn't have pastors to give them a track or program to follow. They didn't have books. They didn't have fancy websites or cool resources. And we have those things and they can help sometimes. But all they knew was their God and that He had sent them. They were immersed in God and they embraced the tension. Immersed in tension. So, to whom have you been sent? And who have you been sent with? Because you need help. On campus this last week, I was prayer walking with Mark. In my neighborhood this next week, I'm going to take Joe out. We want to go over to this apartment complex and target that a little bit. Prayer walk and share around there. I've shared with Jimmy at Drake Park before and had gospel conversations. When Anthony's been up for it in the past, but, hey, let's go prayer walk the Grove and let's ask, would Jesus hang out in a place like this? Where would Jesus be out here? So here's the question to center in on. Imagine if Jesus were to walk into the room you're in right now and say, come on, get up and come with me. Where do you picture Him taking you first? And I'll repeat that question in a bit, and we'll have some time to really meditate on that. And so it's a Spirit-led rather than a on pressure before a group or something. But where do you picture Him taking you first? Maybe it's someone's home. If so, whose? Maybe it's someplace you've never been. If so, where? And why would Jesus want you to go there? But how will you practice sentness this week? What barriers in your normal life will you cross? Are you going to do something to converse with a neighbor or bless a coworker? Are you going to cross a social, political, or ethnic barrier? Do you see where the kingdom is not yet? Or where you can join God in the work He is already doing? Who can you take with you from this missional community, this family of servants right here to go and bless someone? Think of family members, friends, neighbors, coworkers among whom God might be sending you to incarnate the gospel, to be good news. And as you think of them, consider what would it look like for them to connect with this community at some point in the future. Your agenda is to bless them, but that's also a future hope for them. So I'm going to pray for communion here. Going to pray for communion so that you could have some listening prayer or meditation on that question. And then we'll all share about it a little bit if we're ready to share on what we might be thinking of doing this week. And then we'll have our ending song and our meal. So imagine if Jesus were to walk into the room you're in right now and say, come on, get up and come with me. Where do you picture him taking you first? I'll pray for that and pray for our communion here. God, what is communion except an immersion in you, God? And we want to immerse ourselves in you right now. And as we immerse ourselves in you, help us just to see the tension you're calling us into. A tension you want us to be immersed in, where we could bless or serve. God, help us to see the broken places, the people who are the least, and help us to remember that when we do things for them, we're doing it for you, God. Lord, perhaps even just as much as being immersed in you in communion, we, by entering those spaces and being with those people, we might be equally immersed with you by serving the least, by going to the broken places. So God, we thank you for missioning us, for sending us, for commissioning us to bless others, to be your tangible hand to them, God. Lord, we thank you for, again, just first missioning yourself to us, for dying on the cross, for you first getting up before you called us to get up, getting up on the cross as we take this bread representing your body, this juice representing your blood. Help us remember you, your purposes, your postures, and imitate that this week. As we consider what it might look like if you just said, come on, get up, come with me. And help us to listen and help us to picture where you would take us. In Jesus' name, amen.